Hey, you know what I didn't do yesterday? Call my mom.
Oh, really? You didn't? I would not call my mom, but I texted her.
There was like basically 0 minutes of downtime. So, I don't know. I'll probably call my mom after this. But also, I don't know if you've ever met my mom, but I think she would prefer not to have the phone call. Like, I think she'd rather just not talk on the phone.
Yeah.
I'm sure my dad was like, I can't believe Craig didn't call.
Yeah.
Always, once, never calling your mom on Mother's Day, not calling your mom on Mother's Day.
Exactly. That's a once, I think. Howdy, it's Monday, May 12th, 2025, and this is episode 253 of Due for a Win, the Atlantic City podcast. I'm Kyle Askin, joined, as always, by Craig Stone. What's good, Craig?
Not my jokes, apparently.
No.
No. Zero laughter.
Total no sell.
Oh, man.
Had to do it. Had to do it.
Nobody who's listening to this knows what we're talking about, but I said something absolutely hilarious, and Kyle just went straight into howdy.
I even have to say that it's too spicy for pre-show content, so no one will ever know.
I know, no, I can't, you know, no.
No.
Now people are going to wonder.
That's how we do it.
But it was really stupid.
It was dumb. All right, so I have come up with an always, once, never.
Let's hear it.
Immediately before the show, as we do. We've probably done something like this before, but maybe not. So, always, once, never in Atlantic City. Like a sit-down restaurant in a casino is one of the categories. Sit-down restaurant outside of a casino, kind of the docks, knife and fork, whatever. And then casual eatery, wherever that may be, in a casino, out of the casino, whatever. Something a bit less than a sit-down, you know, maybe like White House I would consider more casual, even though it has seats. But I think you know the direction I'm going in with this.
Yeah. I'm assuming you're going to go casual always.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that sounds right. I haven't even thought of my answer. It's just all the brain cells went into the question, but that clearly seems correct. I don't see how I couldn't.
I mean, you could do all of these always, right? If you're going even for one day,
you could
do three meals.
In real life, you could do all of them always. In the terms of the game, you could not.
Right, so we're throwing one of these into the ocean.
Yeah.
So you got to get rid of something. Like, you're getting rid of all casual dining from Atlantic City? That seems crazy.
It's aggressive.
It's aggressive.
Yep.
I think the hard part is the into the ocean one. Because
it's not that hard. Well, it's gonna like ruin the city, but you know.
Am I never gonna sit down at a restaurant in a casino again? Like that.
It seems like it's the only option.
You're probably closing all the Atlantic City casinos at that point if there's no restaurants in them.
I mean, there's like, you know, whatever, the marketplace, the Borgata, but
it's true.
All fat burger all the time.
Yeah, it's basically just the Horseshoe Baltimore now. Like, there's no actual restaurants. It's all just a food court.
I mean, at Borgata, you could go to the Borgata Bakery or whatever. You could go to, I think Bread and Butter counts as a casual, you know, you could go down to the marketplace. I think there's plenty of good options.
Think about how good a position Harrah's is in if we get rid of all sit down.
Because they don't even have any, basically.
Because they're all closed off season and they've got Buddy's Boardwalk Empire.
Uh-huh.
Which is, you know, a big casual option. I'm trying to think what other, like, actually decent casual places are there in casinos. Let's answer this first.
Chicken Guy.
And then we can pontificate more. Resorts has a lot of casual
Resorts
options.
Resorts has a lot. Basically, all casual options. I mean, I guess Upstairs is where they have their sit-downs. And, like, Musashi and East Wind or whatever.
I'm going sit-down outside of a casino always.
Yep.
Because it would just suck really bad to only do that one more time. Like, that is a absolute highlight of every trip for me.
Yep.
I'm going casual once.
Mm-hmm.
Although that's weird. Like, why would you do casual once? What's the one thing? Well, you know what it is? It's White House.
Yeah, got to go to White House. You haven't done it. Yep.
The casual is White House because I haven't been. And then get rid of all the sit-down restaurants and casinos. But that's painful. That's a painful decision to have to make.
Yeah. I mean, I think it clearly has to be sit down. The casinos are gone.
Into the ocean. So what's...
It's not even close.
So what's your always and your once?
I'm thinking about it. And sit downs outside of a casino, maybe that is my always. But like, how am I going to get food into my body in like 10 minutes and go back to the tables?
Does some place like Tennessee Avenue Beer Hall, like pubs, are those sit downs even though they're pretty casual? King's Pub? I mean, you sit and get wait. I mean, it's bar service.
Yeah, that's like sort of a gray area, I'd say. Or like Gilchrist, what is that? Is that a sit down or is it casual?
Sit down.
It's a sit down, I think.
It takes 15 minutes, but you do have to sit.
Yeah.
You sit and you order.
I will also actually have to go with sit downs outside of Xeno, always, unfortunately.
I mean, if you're including Gilchrist in there.
I think that's your actual preferred option. Like, yeah. It kills me to say this.
Because you want grab and go.
Right. I want to just go get whatever, sausage, egg, and cheese, and eat it in 5 minutes and get back to the tables.
Yeah, this is crushing you because you're going to one time again get your casual grab and go thing, and then never again can you go to like the Dunkin' at resorts.
I know.
I mean, is coffee excluded from this list?
No, I think it's maybe just food.
You can grab a coffee, but you can't get your Dunkin' breakfast sandwich, which you don't like anyway.
I mean, the only thing that kills you is you're gonna be walking by the B-Bar bakery or whatever and see like a really fantastic some sort of Danish.
Yeah, but we got a big
but
company.
Can't do it.
It's true. So going back to what I was talking about a second ago, which is the best casual stuff in casinos, in this world where no casinos have a sit-down restaurant anymore, like New Jersey's created, I guess Due for a Win has created a law saying that you're not allowed to have waiter service at a restaurant in a casino.
Yep.
Like the restaurant lobby has just won hugely, pushed by the tailwinds of Due for a Win.
Bring back Luigi's or whatever from that 1986 documentary we watched.
Oh, yeah, exactly. That's the inspiration, is that 1986 documentary.
Yeah, Luigi's. That went out of business. Mm-hmm.
What casino is in the best shape for casual dining?
Like we said, Resorts is in really good shape.
Bally's, I think, is in really bad shape. They've got Dunkin', the pizza place, and the sub place.
Right.
And that's it.
That's going to be, like, about average. Trop.
Trop has everything down in the marketplace.
Well, a lot of those are sit-downs, though.
No.
I mean, Tony there's, like,
Luke's
Starbucks and stuff.
And like...
Yeah, there's Tony Luke's, but there's, like, the Mexican place where we get breakfast sometimes. There's,
that's sit-down.
Firewaters and stuff. I mean, there's lots of sit-downs down there. But I think they'll be fine.
Hooters.
I think most of the casinos would be in okay shape. Like, Borg, I think, is okay. They've got the whole downstairs area.
The downstairs area, they got the stuff as you go out to the parking garage.
Yeah. And bread and butter.
Caesars basically just has, like, Starbucks and Taza, right? Like, they don't have anything... Caesars is a weird one for food in general.
In theory, they have a pizza place up on the third floor, but like, God knows, I've never seen it open, so.
Caesars is a weird casino.
Yeah, Caesars would be in bad shape.
What are we missing? Golden Nugget?
Ocean? I don't think Ocean has.
They've got the coffee shop.
They've got the little cafeteria area, but like, I feel like half those places are closed now, right?
Hey so. Man, they're opening that high stakes place,
yeah.
Which somebody did post saying is very good, I think. Hopefully I'm not misremembering. People are gonna go and be like, that shit sucked, why are you recommending high stakes, you weirdo?
I mean, you were so excited about Serendipity 3 or whatever, and that place was not great.
That closed in like 5 minutes.
Yeah, that was not good.
Hard Rock has the whole upstairs thing.
Yep, Hard Rock has the upstairs, has the White House.
Yeah, I think we've gone through most of them. I don't think we need to keep harping on
this. No, yeah. Caesar seems like they'd be in the worst shape, I think.
But everywhere else still has a decent amount of options.
Yeah. Harrah's would be in good shape because they basically only have casual restaurants. Does Golden Nugget have anything?
Gordon Ramsay's like, steak would be gone from Harrah's.
The downstairs, walking in from the parking garage
area, that, like,
but
coffee,
that's it.
Coffee right? place.
That's not great. So Golden Nugget would be in bad shape.
They've got the chocolate place.
If you just want chocolate.
Which I think, does the chocolate place also have sandwiches? I think it does.
Yeah. Can you buy packaged food? Is that allowed? Like, just get a box of chocolate and eat it? That's probably fine.
That's not an eatery. I think you're allowed to do that. I think that's more of a shop. But they do have sandwiches and stuff.
All right. This has been too long.
Good thing that you came up with off the top of your head 2 minutes before recording.
Yep. Do what you can. So I sent you some photos of the B-Bar that were posted on Reddit. I don't know. What were your thoughts? I know you've had strong feelings when you saw these photos.
I don't know quite what to compare it to. It's very white.
It's super bright.
It's not as cool looking to me as the old version of B-Bar, I have to say. It looks like a bar that you would find in like a stock photo of like an airport lounge. I don't know. It's just very generic looking to me. It's like very white, like the curtains separating the place from the casino floor. Something about the curtains, the white curtains.
The curtains are
very off-putting to me.
Yeah, no, I didn't love them.
But I'm wondering, are those going to be actually open a lot of the time and you can see the casino? I don't know. I'm not feeling it, I have to say. I'm not feeling it.
I mean, I think it looks very nice. We'll have to see if we can take a peek at it when we're in Atlantic City, foreshadowing. But it does look a little bit weird. It's not like an obvious upgrade over the old B-Bar. I mean, there looks like there's like a lot more seating in there, which is good because it could be very hard to find a seat sometimes.
Yeah.
Because there was the actual bar itself and then not very many tables at all around it. But yeah, it doesn't strike me as like, oh yes, this is clearly better.
No, I think it's worse. I mean, I think it'll be an improvement if all the machines work and there's more of them.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll link to those pictures so that you can see what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And that segues perfectly into a trip that we didn't make any hint about in a previous episode, right? Like, there's been no hint that we're going to AC.
It's been a little bit of last second, I think. So, and the last episode, I feel like was a while ago.
No, it was yesterday.
Oh, okay. I mean, it might have been released yesterday, but I think it was recorded before that.
I turn around episodes so fast. Anyways.
Do you think this episode is going to be out before or after we go to AC?
Who knows? Who knows?
Yeah, anyway, I think the theory is at least me and you and our buddy Taylor are going to go for Saturday night the 17th, this upcoming Saturday, and Taylor and I are going to stay on Sunday the 18th, and perhaps our friend Dave will also come for that Saturday.
You're planning to get there evening Saturday.
I'm going to probably get there evening, yeah. It would be probably around the time I got there, the last big trip that a bunch of people were there, which was at night.
Which is when you also went to the Irish pub and...
Yeah, that's right. I won't get there quite that late because, yeah, that was like 10 o'clock when I got in. I'll be in well before that, I think.
I expect I'll get there around 7 o'clock on Saturday night. I realized I was planning to do Saturday to Sunday because I had something at work on Monday, like a full team meeting at my office. And then my boss asked to reschedule that full team meeting, and it totally didn't click in my brain that, like, oh, I could do Sunday to Monday.
You could.
Which would certainly be cheaper.
Well, I mean, I think we'd want to see if Dave's coming or not.
Right, yes. Yes, if Dave is going, then I would not
swap,
since he would only be there Saturday.
You could do both.
Nah.
Saturday and Sunday.
Nah. I don't like AC that much. No, I think that would be using too much away from the new dog who loves me so much and definitely doesn't bark at me anytime I'm in the room.
Yep.
Mainly just, you know, making my wife do all of that stuff.
Mm.
We don't know where we're staying Saturday night. The rates are high.
The rates are not the cheapest. I think me and you could get a room Saturday night.
Right.
I could get a room, probably. I haven't even tried to call, but in theory, I get rooms at Bally's and Golden Nugget 7 days a week.
I was going to say you and I could combine to get a room somewhere, and then you could book a second room, but then you're on two rooms, and that sucks.
Well, the other thing is, let's say I get a Bally's room, and the other room's a Trop. I just know that that's not what people like for whatever reason.
Trop or Bally's?
No, like us being that far apart.
What people really don't like is paying $200 for rooms, though.
Yeah, I don't know.
But I was really optimistic that, you know, it's still before Memorial Day. I was like, is it Monday? That shit's going to go way down. We'll get some cheap rooms now.
When we were looking, me and you before, it was cheaper Memorial Day weekend than it was this upcoming Saturday. So I don't know what's going on. But
yes, so I can get Friday of Memorial Day weekend comped. And Saturday of Memorial Day weekend is slightly more expensive than Saturday of this coming weekend. I mean, it's not crazy. Like, $225 at Tropicana, $176 at Harris. That's not, like, insanely
high. It's not
great.
It's not crazy. Yeah.
All the places that don't really discount, like resorts and ocean, as far as I can tell, like, you're either getting comped or you're not getting any discount at all.
Mm-hmm.
Those are super expensive.
What's the Claridge?
Oh, it was, like, $250.
That's absolutely nuts.
I haven't checked in a while, but it was not cheap. And I was like, ooh, Claridge. The only reason anyone's going there is because it's cheap. You can't be more expensive than other places.
No.
It's not cool.
Well, we'll see. Hopefully we'll figure out where we're staying. Saturday, you'll figure out if you are staying Saturday or not.
We're going to stay at the Days Inn by Wyndham. That's $230, by the way. The Super 8 is $226, also a Wyndham.
Good. There's that new Marriott, right? Or is that not open yet?
Oh, yeah, I don't think that's open yet.
Oh, that's in the Days Inn spot, right?
Yeah, man. Everything's expensive.
Yeah.
Trip canceled.
Trip canceled. Well, we'll see. If Dave doesn't come, maybe we all just go Sunday to Monday.
That's true. Yeah, it would be cheaper.
If we're all going to be getting in late-ish anyway. But if Dave comes, I will definitely go on Saturday, happily.
Yeah, I don't mind if I'm splitting a room that's $200, like, whatever.
That's totally fine. Like, honestly, like, it's probably not worth stressing that much over.
No.
$100 a person a night.
Correct. When we were, like, 25, we would have been like, oh!
That's, like, half my gambling budget or whatever.
That's a third of what I'm going to bring for the entire weekend to gamble with. Like, the $100 for the room, it's crushing me.
Yep.
But now, you know, I've got big boy money, sort of.
We're all independently wealthy, and
money
is no object.
Pretty much.
All right.
I definitely didn't just have to take money out of savings to pay for a fence or anything, but it's fine.
All right. So I think the last thing we have to talk about is, as promised in past episodes, we have some profit data for 2024.
Hey, you like this table I put in the agenda?
kind of.
I don't know why I'm talking about this on the episode, but I originally copied and pasted just like a screen grab, and I was like, no, this is too ugly. And so I built the table exactly as it is in the New Jersey, whatever, Division of Gaming Enforcement page.
Uh-huh.
Rebuilt it from scratch. So, you've stared at my beautiful table.
I mean, I've stared at the table that I put together like a month ago, more.
What? I didn't see that table.
Really? It's right in our revenue sheet where it always is?
No, it's not. What do you have to say about this? What jumped out at you? So, okay, so one overarching thing. Revenue, as we talked about for 2024, down less than 1%. Profit overall down 9%. $709.1 million overall. That includes Caesars Interactive and Resorts Digital. Talking about profit as like resort-wide seems odd to me.
What do you mean?
Like just adding up the profit of all the casinos? The way that they calculate it and what goes into it, like total profit doesn't seem like that meaningful a metric to me.
Yes and no. In some metrics, like profit's very useful. It gives you insight into things you don't have any insight into looking just at the gaming revenue. As an example, Harrah's jumps out at me as a casino. They make more money on room and board than they do on casino, right? That's, I think, largely because of their conference center and like whatever. They always have thousands of cheerleaders running around there or whatever. Like, you know, these big events at the conference center or whatever. And so they can really sell rooms and like that's where they're getting a lot of the money. And like we can look at their casino revenue and be like, well, it's pretty disappointing, but like maybe it's not something they care like the most about or whatever because they're getting money in other ways. So I think that these profit numbers are like being able to take a more holistic view of the properties is pretty useful in some ways. I mean, but like in some ways they also means not that much because of, as you said, all the stuff they can take out or whatever. And
I mean, I think on a casino by casino level, I think there's little things that you can take away that I find it, but just to say like, oh, $709 million profit for the resort. Like if I find the revenue, it's just sort of like more of an indicator of how many people are going and how much money they're spending than profit is.
Yeah. Just so like looking real quick, like Ocean also makes more from room and board than they make from casino as well. And like you compare that to a casino like Resorts, which basically makes nothing on room and board and makes 100% of their money from gambling. So,
yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I think it's interesting. I think it has value.
I mean, I think there's some big things from comparing 2024 to 2023, like Bally's being down 77% seems pretty
bad. I just don't think so because their numbers are so low, they don't really have meaning. Anytime you're like around zero, like all the percent changes are going to be huge. So,
yeah. I mean, so they made $2.5 million of profit in 2024 and $11 million of profit in 2023. So that seems like a huge difference, but you're talking about like...
I mean, it's compared to everyone else, right around the zero number or whatever. So huge percentage differences matter much more in revenue than they do in profit.
Resorts was down 44%. But again, like you said, it's another one that...
It's a small number.
Yeah. Is under $10 million for both. I mean, those numbers, though, like to think about a casino operating a full year at under $10 million profit seems just insane. Especially when you look at Borgata making $208 million.
Again, the word profit, like, it doesn't exactly mean what people might expect it to mean also. And, like, these numbers that we're reporting are before depreciation and amortization and stuff like that. But still, it's not exactly like if you own a small business, this is how much money's left over or whatever. It's not exactly the same as that. It's accounting profit.
For tax purposes.
It's a little more complicated, right?
Yeah. Golden Nugget, significantly more profit than both Resorts and Bally's.
Yeah.
Although down $10 million from 29 to 18.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that I threw together real quick, Caesars combined, including their interactive, was down 9% year over year, which was surprising to me in how not bad it was. Like I was expecting it to be significantly worse. From the revenue side, Tropicana is Caesars' top gambling revenue casino in 2024. They had $5 million more gambling revenue than Harrah's, which had $5 million more than Caesars. But Tropicana has $18 million more profit than Harrah's, and then Harrah's $7 million more than Caesars. So, like, Tropicana, interestingly, is more profitable than maybe the revenue would indicate. And we always sort of say, like, how is the revenue not higher because it's such a crowded casino all the time? And I think maybe there's a slight indication here that they're making money on other things. So,
I mean, I think a lot of it also is like a big part of these profits are like how well casinos keep costs under control, which is like also something we don't really talk about. Let me see Trop versus Caesars. Right. So Trop, they make $25,000 basically, a little bit more, like maybe $30,000 or $30 million more than Caesars made, and basically have not quite lower costs, a little bit higher, but yeah, their costs are just much more under control. Like, that's just such a big part of it. A big reason that Bally's got so much less profitable isn't because they made less money, it's just that they're spending more money.
Right, and I think that's a really important thing to point out when talking about year-over-year profit numbers, is like, a year seems like a long time, but it's actually pretty short term. And if a casino puts a bunch of money into improving the property, their profit is going to look significantly lower for that year because of the money they spent on the property. But hopefully it pays off in the long term. Part of my issue with Caesars is it feels like they're not putting that much money into the properties. So they're not doing the things to gain long term. If they're sort of clinging to this, oh, we need to keep the profit at down 9%, which is, as I said, bad but not terrible. They're keeping themselves from making more profit in the future.
Yeah.
I think that's all I have to say about the profit.
I don't have too much to say. I mean, I think it's an interesting little thing to look at. It's interesting. It allows you to more clearly see like what casinos are going for. Like I said, some are more heavy on selling rooms out for conferences or whatever, while some really are gambling focused. And so it's interesting to see that. It's interesting to see where people are spending and where they're not. But in terms of the bottom lines, does any of this mean a whole lot to me, or like should it matter that much? I don't think so. There's nothing that jumps out as being like, oh, that's hugely consequential. I mean, it's the same thing I've said looking at revenue, which is like, yeah, I mean, the bottom three would probably like to make more money for me to feel like they're truly secure, especially in a world where at some point New York casinos are coming and or North Jersey casinos or whatever.
Yeah. Is there a but there?
Like, no.
They would like to make more money.
Nope. In a world where, you know, if they don't make more money, they're going to be making less money and then they're going to be out of business.
Yeah.
That's the end of that thought.
One of the things that's included in this report that the state puts out is the occupancy rate and the average rate that the casinos get per occupied room. Mm-hmm. I think sort of unsurprisingly, Golden Nugget was the least occupied and had the lowest rate, 52.7% occupancy and $105.80 per room. Hard Rock had the highest occupancy for the entire year, 86.7%. But Ocean had the highest average rate by a ton, $270.42, which is, I think, $90, $85 more than the second highest. Caesars is actually the second highest at $185.59, Hard Rock $182.34, Borgata $175.90. So Borgata has the fourth highest average room rate, and they also have the fourth highest occupancy. Caesars higher occupancy, Ocean 82.2%, Hard Rock, like I said, almost 87%. So I found it really fascinating that Borgata, which makes by far the most profit, does not have the highest occupancy and does not have the highest room rate. And also seeing Caesars above them on both of those things was really surprising.
I don't know. I mean, I think Borgata is far more generous in terms of comps than than Caesars, Big Caesars is.
Is it a strategy thing?
Borgata
just has the formula down better. They have their player base were figured out to give them things to get them coming and give them revenue that turns into profit.
Maybe. I mean, I will say Borgata is very generous with me in terms of free play and in terms of rooms. I mean, I wouldn't say very generous in terms of rooms, but they're decently generous in terms of rooms.
Yeah, I mean, my takeaway from this was not like, oh, that's good for Caesars. It was more thinking, oh, Caesars is probably too stingy on their room rates if their revenue has been so bad and they're still getting whatever, 186 per room and 80% occupancy. I mean, I guess, you know, if they're getting 80% occupancy at 186 per room, like, why decrease the rate? But
yeah. I don't know. I've had a lot of questions about what Caesars has been doing for quite a few years, so.
Yeah.
All right. Well, if you want to reach out to us or any of our other listeners, you can do so at a Facebook group, facebook.com/group/doforawin. Find all of our great content at doforawin.com. Reach out to Craig on Twitter at doforawin or me at Kyle Askin, and send Craig questions at doforawin@gmail.com. And send always, once, never, please, please, please.
Or we'll just end it.
Yep. And if you have suggestions for the next segment to replace always, once, never, we'd love to hear them because I don't think we've got anything in the hopper.
Yeah, we did scenarios like twice.
We could go back to scenarios. Those are easy.
Were they?
I think so. I don't know. How many did you come up with? I feel like I came up
with like one.
A couple, and they were decent.
So a little bit of inside baseball when it comes to the podcast. This is our first episode recording from Zoom. We're not really recording from Zoom, but we're meeting on Zoom and recording each of our sides. So if the audio quality is horrible, blame Zoom.
All right. Thank you guys so much, and we will talk to you in a few weeks, hopefully. God knows. It's a trip report.
Full Atlantic City trip report.
The resort's webpage seems to be broken right now, which is really just the least surprising thing that's ever happened in my life.